Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for having me for this year's FOSTEM. I am Martin, and I'm a kernel developer. I'm working with Purism on the Librem 5 phone, and in this little talk, I want to give you kind of a feeling about how we do kernel development, what we did over the last months, and what we are planning to do. I think it was Daniel Stenberg from the Curl Project who used to joke that there are many successful projects, but kind of you know when your project really won is when it's being used as a verb. And when we talk about mainlining, this always reminds me of that. And I guess in that sense, the mainline kernel tree really won. Okay, here on the left side, of course, that's the Librem 5 phone. I personally use it actually for a few months now as my only phone. And it's a really fun device. It's actually funny calling it a phone because it's really similar actually to my workstation, technically. So what we have on source.puri.sm, there is a GitLab instance, and we host the Librem 5 kernel tree there, which is kind of a development tree against the mainline. And what we do is we use the GitLab workflow to create merge requests for changes we want against our tree. But these days, it even happens that we do changes, we test, of course, do development in the usual way, but do changes against the mainline directly. And since we use stable kernels to base our tree on, we can just basically do changes without ever being inside of our out of tree patch set. So, what we do with our patch set, we kind of mimic the upstream development cycles. So when a merge window for a new kernel closes, we rebase our patch set on top of an RC kernel and use basically the RC stabilization phase to debug and stabilize our patch set during that time as well. And by the time that Linus tags a kernel as stable, we make sure that our patch set on top of that, again rebased, is ready to be used by our users and we release it. So, in the end, of course, the goal is for our patch set that's not in the mainline to become smaller. And in the end, it will be something like the Debian ARM64 kernel, at least as close as possible to that. So, what we did in 2020, there are more things, and I forget the. To mention things, it's just a few pieces of work that came to my mind. Mostly Guido of our kernel team wrote a driver for the MIPI DSI host controller for IMX8MQ. We did a lot of device tree descriptions that's important to us to maintain them inside of the mainline kernel to support the device directly. I wrote this edge driver for the accelerometer and gyroscope driver. We focused on supporting the panels. And runtime power management is very important in our case. And to this day, basically, that's all we do, if you will. For example, if you would turn off the screen on the phone right now, nothing special happens, actually. It's just that. At this point, that the display stack doesn't need to be powered anymore. that results in DRAM frequency to be lower. It can at least run lower, and that saves a lot of power. But Linux runs currently as it always runs. It just powers down devices. In 21, to give you some numbers, we used a 5.7 base tree with roughly 40,000 lines of code incitations in our downstream tree. We did quite some work on the USB Type-C side, the battery charger, and also towards the battery controller, but also the Type-C power delivery and stuff like that. We then did when we were on a 5.9 base tree, we added another 10,000 lines of code roughly in order to support the cameras. We did that in order to have it quickly, and we used drivers from the NXP BSP kernel tree. And over the course of 21, we mainlined almost all of it. And actually, today we use a 5.16 based kernel that has everything we need, except for one driver. That's the backside camera sensor driver. That's the only thing that's missing, but all at the very edge, and that's a very good position to be in, actually, from a maintenance point of view. What we did is we improved power management for SD card readers in general, so that this event polling mechanism that distributions currently use is technically not needed anymore. And runtime power management can just be enabled instead. And the last line shows that really the bulk, most of our tree, our out of tree additions is really the Wi-Fi driver. That's a, kind of our blind spot, if you will, currently, because the worst thing is that there is a mainline driver that's supposed to work with the card we ship. We just haven't taken the time to use it and to improve it to be as good as the driver we include. We really need to do it. I put up this slide because I want to thank kind of the wider development community that helped me personally to do my work, not only in mainlining, but really without Laurent, for example, from the camera development side, Lip Camera, or Sean from the ARM64 device tree parts, or many, many other people. It doesn't really make sense to start listing people, but I myself hope to be as helpful to others as well. And of course, the kernel team that I work with Angus and Guido and Sebastian, oh, and Antorota is extremely helpful. In 22, I guess we will do quite some work in the DRAM subsystem, where we have drivers that are not yet in the mainline that we need for the HDMI and or DisplayPort output. I think there's still work needed for the touchscreen driver. We, of course, the mentioned Wi-Fi driver is really something we should change. A tiny bit actually is the backside LED that can be used as the flash for the camera, needs Vita for Linux 2 support. And I have been working on system suspend, and that's actually something that is going to be ready for users to test very soon right now. And that's going to, I think that's going to start an interesting discussion about how to really use it and what policies to create and how to best make use of system suspend for a phone. I put up this slide because I really spent a lot of my time on the camera stack last year, and one driver I wrote is the sensor driver for the selfie cam in this case. And I have a question basically for you, or for the session later on. Because I have the data sheet for this sensor, and I could have never written this driver based on a data sheet. I only could do so because there is an Android device out there with the same sensor, and therefore there's a kernel out there with the sources. And the reason is that there are literally hundreds of registers that are not documented at all being written to in order to support the resolution modes and stuff like that. And that becomes a problem because as soon as I want to do changes or support different resolution modes or stuff like that, I have no real basis to work against. And really, if I know that there are many sensor drivers kind of that are in this situation. And Android kernel trees often are hosted somewhere on GitHub and are not really good at preserving Git history. So I really would appreciate any insight in how they are re written, actually. Yeah. So really, that's a question. Yeah, when we talk about mainlining, that's just one thing that comes to my mind. That's going to be especially hard to do because the IMX8MQ SoC has a hardware bug that, simplified speaking, CPU cores cannot be woken up from the deepest sleep state. It's a problem where we have a software workaround for, but that's basically pretty ugly and not really suitable for the mainline kernel. And that's going to be one of the last pieces I think we will try to support in mainline, but that's going to be hard. And lastly, let me think about mainlining a bit in general. What I want to say is let's not see mainlining as a goal. I think it's important to have the mainline tree. And it really ties our community together and make us write good code and need to communicate. And a related word of community, of course, is communication. And we should really try to hold that up high, if you will, and try to communicate in a good and in a nice way and respond in time and explain openly why we do things, why we want things. Mainlining is one piece, one kind of natural piece of our work as part of our community. But it's never where development stops, for example. It's often the opposite, actually. And I know we are sometimes really busy in our jobs and want to get to-do lists ticked off or something, but I just want to kind of encourage to try to sometimes take a step back and even look at what might be good for the project itself, not really for your own task you need to get done, but whatever. Be it wire driver is in staging and I question everything, but of course. Listen to other people, question everything, and really try to improve our project and the community. So, and with that, I think I'm at the end. And yes, I have a few minutes still for questions later on. Of course, if you own the phone, there are no secrets at all. Our GitLab instance is there. I usually write a blog post about our progress we do for the mainline stuff. We even accept patches at kernel@puri.sm if that's what you want to do. That's my email address down there. Really, it's really a fun project, and that's really something you should remember to have fun And with that, thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Martin, for your interesting talk. There's a couple of questions in the channel. I'm going to start with the topmost one from DevRTZ. What are the most enjoyable, annoying subsystems patch sets you worked with over time, and why?
That's hard to say. In general, I have really good experience with working with maintainers in subsystems. Especially, I don't really want to mention specific ones, actually. The IIO subsystem was very helpful. Right now, I'm starting to dig around in the sound subsystem, and people are very helpful. Yeah, I have really not really bad experiences, to be honest. The only thing that happens, of course, is the patch sets are lying around and nobody looks at it, but that's a problem that will not go away so soon.
Okay, yeah, that's true, but I think from what I've seen, there was pretty good response to most of the patches I've seen flying around, which is nice. There's another question from DevRTZ. You mentioned suspend. How much work is still needed on the kernel user space side? I think kind of like until it can be used daily and out of the box.
So on the kernel side, I've made sure that the suspend and resume path technically work. So at least on my development device, you can suspend the phone and resume it pressing either a power button or use basically any wake up line that's configured. And that should be, of course, also be the modem receiving a call or SMS. And while that works on my device, I've heard at least one or two reports that there are issues. One issue is when you're not using systemd. So that's not a Purism specific issue, but I'd say the kernel is ready for people to test this. We will not immediately configure it to be the default, so we will not immediately say, let's put the phone to suspend when it's not being used, but I want to get there. And I think we are at the point where we can basically ask everybody to try it out.
Okay, and any comments on the user space side? That was part of the question.
The user space side is something I only started to think about. It'll be interesting. I think the first step, there's definitely work needed to be done, as far as I know. But how a policy could look like in the first step, I think should be very simple. Like, basically, instead of doing plain suspend, do something like RTC wake and wake up after a few minutes and see whether something happened. See whether any notification comes in or not, and if not, suspend again. And that's a very simple thing, and that's, I think, something we should work against in the first step.
Okay, yeah, and I am recently in the Fosh channel. I saw there's work done by other people basically on that pattern, so that sounds great. There's a question from Q. It seems much time has been spent on improving the power management. How long does the battery last now? Maybe you can say something about kind of like this without suspend, which is kind of like the default at the moment, and maybe what you would expect as a
So,
very first step with suspend.
I think you can say something about that too. So for me, it highly depends on how you use the phone. So right now, if you would work on the phone, do something on the phone, the battery will drain relatively quickly. For me personally, I use the phone, and without charging it, I'd say I use it half a day. That's something that's really my use case. So it lies around for an hour or two. I do stuff with it for an hour or two, and I think half a day is something that it lasts easily. If it's lying around all the time, it probably would last more than a day, or maybe one day. And for the system suspend case, I think what we can expect is something like when the phone is lying around and not being used, we can roughly double the time the device keeps powered in that state. So it won't change anything when you use the phone, of course, but it will definitely improve the being available and powered time.
Yeah, sure. It can only improve the standby time. But I think we also have maybe some pending optimizations in user space for the running time. There's another question. You mentioned you have been using PureMail as your daily driver. What did you use before, and how is the experience? Is there a place we have perhaps can read up about your experience? Many important for phone things. So basically, kind of like, what are you missing on your device? What is your experience towards your old phone, and what was it?
Well, I've been using an Android device with a Lineage OS image without any Google stuff. And the experience on the Librem 5 is, I don't want to say surprisingly good, but it's nice. You know, it's in part a psychological thing right now. And it's a really good feeling not to use tons of non-free software all the time. So my personal use case is work. I personally don't yet use, for example, the Signal messaging, but technically that's something that should work as well. What I personally miss is probably good GPS, GNS, and navigation system, probably. But that's almost the only thing I miss. I mean, I miss one thing, but that's a user space GNOME issue. That's these CalDAV and CarDAV support, but that's just me.
Okay, but I think you should be able to do that, actually. I have had CarDAV.
Okay.
But you can't configure it. But I think it's time to wrap it up. We have 20 seconds left. Thanks again, Martin, for your talk.
Thank you.
And I
much.
Think the room is going to open up for others in a couple of minutes. And you have 5 seconds for any last words.
No, thanks for listening. My pleasure to be at Foster.